Imagine a very competent mountain climber who starts out one day on a particular mountain to climb a mountain, and as he proceeds, the mountain gets steeper and steeper, more and more difficult, until finally he comes to a place where there's this great overhanging mass of rock. So that somehow, to continue on, he has to go a seemingly impossible and impossibly dangerous route. This is a really good metaphor for the spiritual life. Because all of us, at some point or points in our spiritual life, will come to a place where it just seems impossible. Where the act of acceptance, the act of self-forgiveness, the act of endurance that is required seems beyond our abilities. And this is clearly a place where pure competency will not do it. It's a place where you're simply up against something that clearly you just cannot do on your own. You know, people come to this by various routes. Some people hit it very early in life. Some people it hits later in life. Some people perhaps not till the very end of life. In the early chapters of How to Grow a Lotus Blossom, River Master describes her experience of this. And one also sees there how she handled it, what she did. And she describes the ways in which you can give up. And then she describes what in fact she did at this time. There are just two simple aspects of it. One of them is an act of belief in herself. You know, I can do it and I will. And the other one, I'm not sure it's so clearly expressed at that point in How to Grow a Lotus Blossom. It becomes manifest as you read on. But it was there. And it's a great cry for help. And both of these aspects are needed at such a time. One of them is the determination to go on one step at a time, regardless of the cost. If that is what is truly good to do. And however much one may ask for help, no one is going to make that decision for me or for you. No one is going to have that resolve for us. In the Litany of the Great Compassion, when this is expressed as, O great victor, I hold on, hold on. Then look at what the next line is. To Indra the Creator I cry. Right there you have it. You could replace for Indra the Creator there. You know, I cry for help just to that in the universe which helps. It doesn't even need a conscious object. In the end, it's the Eternal who hears that cry for help. Whatever the proximate vehicles of assistance may turn out to be. And every such cry for help is sympathetically heard and responded to. And we have to continue to hold on, hold on. In How to Grow a Lotus Blossom, River Master expressed this hold fast to the Lord of the house. Whether I am brightly alive or dying, hold fast to the Lord of the house. In holding fast to the Lord of the house, there is the wedding of these two aspects, the resolve and the crying out for help. One holds on fast to that which is the source of help. Every time we do our formal meditation, every time throughout the day when in the midst of whatever difficulty we're encountering, we choose to look up and not just to slide into despair or panic or anger, whatever it is. There's a negative state that is arising. Whenever we choose to return to that mind and heart of acceptance and bowing, we're practicing. We're exercising that capacity within ourselves to hold on, to hold fast. And whether we know it or not, and most of the time we don't seem to know it, especially in the early years, but I might say the early decades, certainly for me that applied. Whether we know it or not, we're practicing learning to turn towards the eternal for our help in the midst of our need. For those of us who have received the precepts and who have the Kechimyaku, the graph of the bloodline of the Buddhas, that is given the time that we take the precepts, we can remember what River Master so often said about that line. There are many twists and turns in the spiritual life. It's a line that does not appear to be straight. And for most of us, those twists and turns are defined by the periods of difficulty and pain when we have to dig deeper. We have to stretch our faith and our resolve in order to keep going. It's important not to condemn or despise ourselves or others because of these twistings and turnings. In the course of these twistings and turnings, our humanity is fully displayed in all its various aspects. The hardest act of acceptance of all is self-acceptance. It's not making excuses. That's not acceptance. It's not looking for reasons. That's not acceptance. It's just, yes, I did this. Yes, this happened. Yes, I feel this. Yes, I think this. Please help. The worldly idea of what it is to lead a deeply religious life especially in the Western world, is a serious misconception. And then his eternal life, your master wrote about the fact that one can be ambitious for sainthood, and that this is even encouraged in some religions, or appears to be. But she pointed out that in Buddhism this is not the case. And that in Buddhism we understand that whenever we are seen to manifest some aspect of the compassion or wisdom of the eternal, that is all it is. Something greater than ourselves is showing through us. And there's nothing in that that we can claim for ourselves. There's nothing that we can hold on to in it. And where we're going to return to again and again is our own basic humanity. That we are a human being who needs the help of that which is greater than itself, than ourselves. That we are a human being who needs to hold fast to the eternal. And it's an amazing thing that a human being like that can experience such wonders. Of the compassion and wisdom of the eternal. And no such experience belongs to us, and no such experience is permanent. All experience is impermanent, transitory. If we wish to be saintly, if we long to be saintly, we only make it more difficult for ourselves to have compassion for ourselves and make ourselves more desperate inside. The advantage of hitting those impossible overhanging cliff faces and having to really cry out for help is that afterwards we can remember what that was like. What it was like to be on hands and knees. And who it is that is truly always in the driver's seat. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great